Our first scripture reading this morning is our sermon series passage. It's John 14, verses 6 and 7, and then we'll be turning to Philippians chapter 3. I encourage you to follow along in your pew Bibles if you would like to get one out, or if you're at home, I hope you have your Bibles with you there so you can follow along with our scripture reading. John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Turning now to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 2, Paul writes, "Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are wrapping up our early summer series, The Way, the Truth, the Life, looking at what Jesus said about himself in John 14, 6 and 7. Those two short verses, two short sentences, as we've seen, are incredibly profound and full of truth about life, purpose, salvation, and truth itself. When Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, it was radical and countercultural, and here, 2,000 years later, it is still very much the same thing. In fact, in many respects, we need these words of Jesus today more than ever before. Last week, Bob did a great job helping us see how and why Jesus truly is the only way to God the Father. After 5 or so weeks of this series, we are finally getting to the second sentence of the series. Now, don't worry, we're going to cover the entire sentence today. We're not going to take another 5 weeks to pick this sentence apart. So far, we've seen that the way we are to live, the only source of truth, the fullness of life, and the only means to reach God the Father is Jesus Christ. In verse 7, Jesus addresses the deepest yearning and the greatest fear of the human heart. As we look at this verse in our reading from Philippians 3, we will see that through Jesus Christ, the deepest yearning of the human heart is met. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Lord God, in these troubled times, our yearnings and our fears seem to come to the forefront. And sometimes, Lord, we don't know what to do with those yearnings and those fears. Sometimes it's hard to admit we have them. It's hard to confess we struggle with them. And so, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray for your Spirit to open our eyes, to unplug our ears, to soften our hearts, to see your Son, Jesus Christ. It is the sound of his sandaled feet walking through our hearts that we yearn to hear and to follow. Would we see him and him only and know him today? In his name we pray. Amen. Well, between the two of us, my wife and I have roughly been ministering to and with teenagers for over 50 years. That's a really fun way to say that because all of a sudden I feel old. But it's also true. We've been doing this for a long time. And over the years of ministering to teenagers, and we've ministered to teenagers almost everywhere you can imagine. Here in Virginia, in Florida, Alaska, Missouri, Maryland, Ohio, North Carolina, all over the place. And we've come to realize over all this time and all of these different places that every teenager is ultimately wrestling with the same two questions. Who am I? And am I worthy of being loved? Now, how they express those two questions, it takes is infinitely different with each and every student. But ultimately, those are the questions they're wrestling with. And as I look back, I can see how my efforts to find answers to those questions when I was a teenager drove almost every decision I made. But the thing is that I've found as I've ministered outside of youth ministry over the past 15 or so years is that it's not just teenagers that are wrestling with these two questions. Who am I and am I worthy of being loved? It seems just about every person I meet is wrestling with those questions as well, of any age. It is truly the deepest yearning of the human heart, the desire to know and be known. We yearn for someone else to know us deep down, inside and out, and to love and accept us as we are. We also want to know someone else that deeply and intimately as well. We were created for relationships and for intimacy. It's hardwired into our very nature, into our very being. We were not created just for this kind of deep relationship and intimacy with others, but we were created to have it with God Himself as well. But as with so many things in life, our deepest yearning is also our greatest fear. I desperately want to know and be known. But what if who I truly am isn't good enough? What if someone were to actually get to know me truly, deeply, thoroughly know me, and then reject me because they didn't like what they saw, what they found on the inside? The tragic reality of our lives is that more often than not, our fear overpowers our yearning. We are desperately afraid to find ourselves in a situation similar to the scene in How to Train Your Dragons when the chief of the clan, Stoic, turns to his son, Hiccup, and says, "When you carry this axe, you carry all of us with you, which means you walk like us, you talk like us, you think like us. No more this." Hiccup, in response, rolls his eyes and says, "You just gestured to all of me." Isn't that what we're afraid of? That somebody will say, "You just got to stop being you and we'll like you just fine." That's what we're afraid of. If somebody were ever find out what's truly on the inside, and far too many times the message is sent that who we are isn't good enough, will never be good enough. That fear, more often than not, becomes something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. in our lives as we sometimes intentionally, but often more unintentionally, self-sabotage, because it is a lot easier to handle the rejection if I push you away first rather than wait to be pushed away. And over time, we begin to believe the lies that our fears tell us. We aren't worthy of knowing and being known. We aren't good enough. We aren't able to love others or be loved ourselves. And if we aren't worthy of being known and loved by others, we certainly aren't worthy of being known and loved by God. And yet, the desire, the yearning, the longing persists. As we said, it's central to who we are as human beings, and we can never shake it off. It never goes away. We can ignore it. We can try to bury it or maybe drown it, but it's still always going to be there. It's always going to come back. So we try to trick it. We try to satisfy it with an easier, cheaper, safer way of knowing and being known. Kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about life. Instead of pursuing life through Christ, we try to live off Doritos, which isn't going to work. Instead of actually being known and knowing others, we settle for merely knowing about God and others. So instead of letting you inside, sharing what's really in my heart of hearts, I try to content you with labels and facts. I'm a father, a husband, a son, a brother, an uncle, a pastor, a teacher, a coach, a bike rider, a music listener, a shower singer, and never outside the shower. Not going to happen, Bob. I've been a Texan, a Marylander, an Ohioan, a Floridian, an Alaskan, a Missourian, and now I'm a Virginian. Given enough of that kind of information, you might start to think that you really know me. And I might begin to think that I'm actually known. But it's a false knowing. It's merely a knowing about, not actual knowing. That's what Paul describes for us at the beginning of our reading from Philippians 3 today. He writes, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless." If stacking up enough labels could suffice for actually being known, then Paul had it made. Now, much of Paul's labels have lost their significance for us over the centuries. But suffice it to say that if this is Paul's resume, and it is absolutely spotless and perfect. He checked all of the boxes of his day. If it were possible, if it were humanly possible to earn God's approval, if we could pull together enough abouts, then Paul was the one to do it. But the reality is that the abouts are merely a cheap substitute for the real thing, for the deep desire that we have in our hearts. Paul knew the fruitlessness of the abouts, which he points out next. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." What the abouts can never provide for us, Jesus did and does. Paul continues, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Our identity our worthiness, that which makes us both lovable and worthy of being loved, is found in and comes only from Jesus Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Just about every interaction that Jesus had with others shows us that we are already known deep down inside to the very core of our being. We don't have time this morning to go through every single interaction Jesus had with people to show this. We could do that, but we wouldn't make it to lunch until Thursday. So let's just take a look at one example. The example of the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman comes to the well seeking water and finds Jesus sitting there by himself, and says he had sent the disciples off, and he asks the woman for a cup of water. They begin to have a conversation. As they do so, he eventually asks her to bring her husband to the well also. She says to him she doesn't have one. To which Jesus replies, "It's right, you don't have one, you have five." Jesus knows her secrets. He knows the skeletons in her closet. He knows her brokenness and he knows her sins. And yet, he makes sure that she knows that she is loved by her Savior. He speaks to her deepest yearning to be known while also removing her deepest fear of being rejected. Can you imagine the terror that must have struck her heart when he called her out for having five husbands? And yet, he loved her and welcomed her. Are you afraid that God will reject you if he finds out what's truly in your heart? Let me assure you, through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of two things: that he already knows your deepest secrets, so there's no point in trying to hide them from him anymore. He already knows they're there. And secondly, that he has called you, he has loved you, he has chosen you, and he has saved you. You don't need to be afraid of being known, because you are known and you are loved. It's worth going back to what Paul wrote, which we read just a moment ago. "For his sake, for Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." It isn't our abouts or our efforts on our resume that make us known by God. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we realize we are known, loved, cherished by God, then we want to know him all the more in return. Paul, realizing the depth and wonder of being found and known by God through the grace of Jesus Christ, says that now his goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Brothers and sisters, there is always more knowing and being known to have and to explore, which is where Paul concludes our reading this morning. "Not that I have already attained this, or am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. How do we move forward in knowing and being known by God? Well, Paul gives us three steps in these closing verses. Accept the process, keep the goal in mind, and hold true to what you've already attained. The first step in knowing and being known is to accept the process. We're all in process. None of us are finished products. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." While we are known by God and know God through Jesus Christ, as we said before, there is always so much more to know and to learn. This side of glory, we will always see as though through a glass darkly. But even when we do finally reach heaven's shores, when we finally see Jesus face to face, and even after we've spent 1,000 years there will still always be more knowing and being known to have and to experience. We are all in process. So be patient with yourself and be kind to others. The second step, after we accept the process, is to keep the goal in mind. Paul writes, and Carrie did such a great job explaining this, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Close the chapter. Turn the page. Move forward. Don't look back at the days and times of not knowing, the times when we chose the abouts instead of the real thing. Keep your eyes fixed forward on Jesus Christ and on, as Paul described it, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't settle for anything less in your life or in your heart. Keep the goal in mind. Finally, the third step, after we've accepted the process and we've kept the goal in mind, is to hold true, hold fast to what you have already attained. Paul concludes, "Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Are you a finished product yet? Absolutely not. Will you continue to struggle with the fear of rejection? Absolutely. It's part of being human. But that doesn't mean that you haven't made any progress at all. Because you have. You are not who you used to be. You are not who you once were. And you are not who you were yesterday, even. Hold true to the knowledge of God and Christ you've already attained. So when the doubts and fears assail you, and they will, you can stand fast. As we draw this series to a close, I invite you to consider carefully what Jesus said in these two verses in John 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have known him. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus says here is still true. And he meant what he said when he said it 2,000 years ago. If you are still looking for that person who will know you inside and out and will love you with a love that will never let you go, Jesus Christ is that person. We were made to know and be known by God. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life that makes that knowing possible. May God bless each one of us as we continue with each passing day to know and be known by God, to find that through Jesus Christ, we have all that our hearts are yearning for and all the comfort to cast our fears aside we would need. We were made to know and be known through Jesus Christ and have the deepest desires of our hearts met in him. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, we do yearn for you. So often, Lord, we don't realize that you are who we are yearning for. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the life that we have only through him. Lord, so often we spend our days and our times chasing after the abouts of our lives, chasing after the illusions, the things that we think will provide for what we need, when all we need is Jesus and evermore of Jesus. So, Lord, as we come to a close of this series and this service this morning, Lord, it is our prayer, it is my prayer for each one of us, that this week, Lord, with each and every day, you would give us more Jesus. Give us Jesus each and every day. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.